Against All Odds is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, and you must be 21 or older.
Network Cousin Sal coming to you on a Monday morning. Yeah, after another action-packed sports gambling weekend. Wow. We're going to get to it in 1 second. Spaghetti and meatballs, fiddling with the knobs. Babyface Joel Solomon producing this disaster. And joining me, as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the degenerate trifecta, Harry, Brother Bri, Darren the Parlay Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
I hope you all enjoyed the weekend. I know Parlay Kid didn't have a fun one. I know Brother Bri didn't have a good one. I know Babyface Joel Solomon, Mikey Meatballs, Eddie Spaghetti, they didn't enjoy watching their Yankees get kicked to the curb by the Astros. My goodness, Parlay Kid. They bow out in four, a.k.a. a sweep, 50 Ks in four games. And here's the thing. All the pressure was on the Parlay Kid. He took it on. He welcomed it, and he failed. He failed. I'm not sure what he could.
I didn't fail. I just had. I took the. I actually won. I was successful. I took all the pressure on.
Yeah,
and I'm willing to take all the criticism right now. I'm willing to take it. You could pile on me as much as you want about the Yankees. It's fine because the expectation is to win a World Series. If you don't, the season is not a successful one. Why can't we all just admit that? And now, as a Met fan, so you are now in the same boat because your payroll is actually higher than the Yankees' payroll. So you have to say the same thing. So I have to say I'm willing to take it.
Some losses are more embarrassing than others. You'll admit that, right?
There's a series of embarrassing losses.
I get there's the goal. I guess there's the goal. Everybody, if you don't win, it's all the same. But, I mean, if I asked you right now, would you rather have lost to the Guardians in Game 5?
No.
You really wouldn't have. You really would have gone through this 50 strikeout thing, but no one made contact.
No, because you got to compete against the best and see what you're about. The Yankees aren't the best. Wow. They're not the best. They're not close. They're not close to the Astros.
Brother Brian, so, you have anything to say? You kind of knew after game two or going into game two, it was over.
Oh, I mean, we had talked about this. Every game is the exact same watching these teams. Mm-hmm. It didn't, and I will say, it didn't matter. Whatever move Boone made, it did not work. Right. Anything he's made during the playoffs, whether it's shortstop, whether it's left field, whether it's the closer, whatever he did, or whether, the reliever he puts in a certain situation, any move he made was wrong.
Yeah. And he had saved his job. That's what I'm saying, Parlay Kid. That's part of it. If he does, everyone said he saved his job, and maybe even Cashman did with the game 5 win over the Guardians. Definitely. And now they're walking it back a little bit. Right.
Yeah, well, look, here's the deal. I'm not a Boone guy, but I'm also not a coach killer. I think Boone's job is he follows a script pretty much, right? So I don't know how much you can blame on him, but I do think a change needs to be made for the Yankees, though. They can't keep Boone around. They can't keep Cashman around. There's got to be a change. They've had a long run. They've had a good run. On paper, Boone would probably leave this job with one of the best winning percentages of all time. Probably very few managers have gotten fired with that type of win percentage.
But maybe they don't keep Judge around.
Well, Harry, I want to get to that.
Well, we could talk about it because I'll tell you how I feel about it. Brian already knows how I feel about it.
Well, let's do this. I want to have some fun with this because I love it. I know we have a lot of football to discuss. We're going to preview the Monday Night Football game. We're going to recap everything that went on yesterday. I think I'm delaying it because I lost so much money on the Buccaneers again. So, that's where we are right now. All right, we're going to have some fun with this, though. Hold on to that thought, Parlay Kid. Let's bring in our guest. She's typically the most liked member, I would say, of the Extra Points family. But for some reason today, everyone on this podcast, except for me and Harry, didn't want her to come on here to discuss the Yankees' exit velocity from the postseason. It's our good friend, co-host of Waiver Wired, and our resident Houston Astros fan, Jen Piacenti. What's up, Jen?
Good morning, Sal. You may have seen on my social media that I posted my Dak Prescott jersey and my Houston Astros cap. It worked.
I did see that.
This is a great day for me. This is a great Monday. Is this as good as it gets?
Because I know you like to roll up your sleeves, and this kind of wasn't even fun, right? I mean, I guess there's fun in just sweeping the Yankees, but I mean,
yeah, I mean,
I guess it's as embarrassing as it gets.
We
could
have won it at home, I guess, but it's more fun to sleep. Mm-hmm. I honestly, as good as this Astros team has been, I did not expect them to be perfect in the postseason, but that's what they've
been. Yeah.
Perfect.
They are. They're 7-0. Spaghetti, jump in. This is your partner, Jen. You guys have met. You've hosted Waiver Wired every week, and now you're going to have to do it again tomorrow, yeah. And there's going to be even more gloating. I thought we'd give a little sample to everybody today. What are your feelings?
I don't even know. I mean, I can't even argue. It's like, it's not like this series went 7. It went 4, and they got smoked, and I think I'm almost like less – don't get me wrong. I'm definitely frustrated, and I hate the Astros probably more than any sports team. Maybe outside of the Penguins, but it's like there's a lot, and I'm sure Brother Bri and Parley K would agree. But there's almost like this new feeling of like hating the Yankees and hating the organization and being frustrated with them for like the definition of insanity is repeating the same thing over and over again. It's kind of what the Yankees are doing, and I'm fed up with it, and I'm tired of it, and I want like a change, not losing Aaron Judge change, but something needs to be done because they can't keep being owned by the same team over and over again every single year and constantly losing the ALCS or the ALDS. And it's just like, you know, the Yankees get in the playoffs, they beat an AL Central team, and they get smoked by either the Astros or the Red Sox, and I'm tired of it. I'm so tired of it.
Jen, is that true? They can't keep getting owned by the Astros? I can kind of see that they can. What do you think?
They can. I think you guys have an organizational problem. And you know what else? Let me tell you who's not Mr. October, and that's Aaron Judge, who has a career season of 211 in 44 games played. He's been playing in the postseason for 6 years now. He batted 131 for you guys, a couple home runs, 3 RBI, but that ain't going to get it done. So if you're going to pay him, I don't know. I'm just saying.
I'll tell you what. I think the Parlay Kid, I don't want to say he's fully agreeing with you, but I do sense that, you know, if you got rid of Judge, if you didn't go after him, as long as he didn't go to the Astros, I guess, you know, you got some middle relief arms. I mean, it was really over. It might have been over before this, but when they took Cole out and put who, Lee Trevino in? Who was it? Mm-hmm. Who was the strikeout guy? Yeah. So if you had 5 of those guys, like everybody, the Astros, every Phillies, like is parading out a middle reliever who throws 99 with good movement, that seems to be more valuable than even an Aaron Judge. I think you probably could have gotten to the playoffs anyway, Pollock kid.
Yeah. But Jen's making a big mistake here because this isn't going to mean anything unless the Astros win it all. Mm-hmm. So beating the Yankees, okay, you beat the Yankees. But if you don't beat the Phillies, this means nothing because Jen's only probably 25, but Jen could be 100 years old. And she would only have seen the Astros win one World Series title to date. I've seen 7 from the Yankees. Well, I've seen 7.
There we go.
So unless you win the World Series, it doesn't matter. So
I'm going on Saturday night to the World Series. So I'll report my question. I just want to ask
they got to win, though. Eddie, am I right? We can't get – like, Yankees have the goal. As a Yankees fan, it's winning the World Series, a bust. Now the Astros, I guess, have entered that conversation. Every year they got to win a World Series. But getting back to the Judge thing, so I've said this to Brian and our buddy JJ Jastrzemski, that I don't think the Yankees are in a position where they can break the bank on Judge right now. I don't think they can. I don't think they can offer Judge 8 years, $400 million when there's a lot of areas of need. I personally at this point, they could offer Judge a very fair deal, but at the same time, I'd say no more than 5. And because with that money, Sal, what could they get with that money they're going to give Judge? They could fill all their areas of need, find players that are not that Judge. I think Judge's playoffs have been a little disappointing, but I think we would find that a lot of hitters, even good hitters, hit 200 in the playoffs.
Yeah,
at
but
times.
You know what hurts you? Right? That Bryce Harper, 30 years old, is turning it around, and he gets right. Like, and he's having a big that makes it worse. I'll tell you what, Jim. What do you think? Do you
Bryce
think
Harper
Judge
235
gets
this year? Right, or something like that. I mean,
I don't know.
I'm going to go crazy about Bryce Harper.
Stepping up in the postseason is the difference. But Jen, you look at the numbers. Does Judge get an offer similar to, worse, or better than what the Yankees offered him a few months ago?
He'll get a better offer.
Really?
Yeah, he will. He'll have to because they're going to have a mandate. Because look, even though he stunk in the postseason, like he put that team on his back. They never would have even made it to 99 wins without Aaron Judge. And ultimately, even though they're all booing him now and grumpy and all of that, ultimately they are not going to want to see Aaron Judge go anywhere else. And this is where Yankees are going to make another mistake, because it's the same thing. They paid way too much for Garrett Cole. By the way, how are you guys feeling about the Astros, you know, throwaways? How's Garrett Cole doing? It's, you know, they're going to make this mistake. They're going to spend too much money on Judge, and they're not going to work on getting, you know, batters that,
so,
I don't know.
So, Jen, contact. You're with me with that theory, right? That they probably shouldn't, like, give Judge this massive contract, which would hamstring the rest of the team, right?
They shouldn't, but they will.
Right.
If I were betting
I hope
it.
They don't. Eddie, I hope they don't.
And I couldn't Judge. Disagree more.
I would, any Yankees fan
really?
That...
Yeah, says I could disagree no. more. I think that you have to give it's him crazy. As much. It's there's no salary cap. You're the New York damn Yankees. Like it just you pay him. Like the Steinbrenner's kids. Like he had. They have to start moving in a direction of like not being afraid to spend.
That is
because
right.
you like they make certain moves and they pay Josh Donaldson, who's making like almost as much money as like Bryce Harper. It's insane. You keep Judge. Make Judge your captain. Judge is the reason you got to this spot. He's not at fault. Nobody hits in the postseason. Like even the Astros batting average is not great. Jose Altuve did not hit in the postseason. Nobody does. Look at the past ALCS winners. All the batting averages are like 270 or lower. So it's like I would keep Judge. And the one thing that we're forgetting that the Yankees, why they're in a
good. Jeremy Pena hits in the postseason.
But look across the board, nobody hits. Nobody
hits. Alex Bregman.
What do you give him, Eddie? Like, what do you give Judge?
Go look up the ALCS batting average for a.
Chad McCormick hits in the postseason.
The Astros have won the LCS with like a 220 batting average before. It's like that no one hits. So I'm not blaming him for the postseason.
But they hit
timely.
At the
yeah,
right
they did timely
time.
Fine. And I think also if DJ LeMahieu and Benintendi but, were in the postseason a couple times, they lost games one and games two by one run, two runs. Nope. So like if they were in there, it could have changed a lot. But Yankees farm,
are you
gonna, the Yankees farm system
are you
is great.
Tell me that it's because the Astros had the roof open and that's why they didn't win the game.
Listen. Between the Mets spin rate and the Yankees roof open, I would say that's an embarrassing moment for the New York teams. I'll
say
that.
Can't Steve Cohen bring Judge over and then he doesn't have to switch dry cleaners?
I think it's a combination. Hold one second, Harry. Sorry. But a combination of what Parlay Kid and Spaghetti are saying. Like you can pay Judge if you don't whiff on
the Josh Donaldsons
and the Joey Gallos and those deals, right?
It depends on what the organization is going to do. If they have an unlimited bankroll, then yeah, of course you got to bring Judge back. But if they're going to say, we're not going to go above this number, I don't see how you could sign Judge to what could amount to $50 million a year. You know, I don't know. I don't see how the way they're operating right now.
Yeah, it's a lot.
You know, if George Steinbrenner, this wouldn't be an issue. It wouldn't be an issue. A Judge would be, you know, he definitely would be on this Yankees team. Yeah. But the way they're operating right now, I don't see how you could bring him back. Now, the Yankees do have some good young players that will be very cost-effective for them the next few years. Volpe, Peraza. Hopefully we see these guys in the lineup. But we'll see. I don't know. At this rate, Judge is great. Couldn't be a better player, teammate, et cetera.
He's going to want Robbie Ray on the Yankees or something. What is this, Harry?
This is going to be amazing.
I had a trivia question for Jen, which I'm sure she probably can answer. Since 2020.
Jen got smoked by Fabiano last week. I don't know if it's trivia.
I'm not good at trivia.
All right, go ahead. Most postseason hits since 2020.
Since 2020, who has the most postseason hits?
This can't be Robbie Ray. It just can't. I've just gone through.
We're talking about batters or pitcher? Yeah.
Batters.
Okay, batters. I would say it's George Springer.
No, but Gurriel.
It is Gurriel? Yeah, I mean, he is a postseason.
Wow, Harry.
And in fact, I was watching him and I was thinking, I know his contract's up with the Astros, but either they should renew him and just say, hey, maybe you're not going to, you know, start every day, or some other team should get him. Because even though he's 38, he's still... Yeah. He's clutch, and he's like Gold Glove.
Still clutch.
Defense.
All right.
If the Yankees don't sign Judge, and what's going to happen if by July he's hitting home runs, he's hitting even better than he did 310, he's hitting 325, and all the Yankee fans are so furious that they didn't. It's going to be rehashed. Where how come we didn't sign Judge? It's just going to be a nonstop.
Yeah, it's a risk you take. Now look, Judge gave the Yankees a great summer. It would have been boring, right? They would have run away with the division. It was fun watching the 62. I hated it. I had to be on the other side just for content reasons. reasons. But it was. I know the goal is the World Series. Jen, speaking of, what's your pick? We're going to hold our pick till tomorrow. I have your Astros at 10-1. I loved them last year in this spot, though. I loved them last year in this spot, and I got beat up. Why is this going to be different?
I do think they win because it's just so much deeper this year. First of all, last year they didn't have Justin Verlander, and they didn't have Lance McCullers either. We essentially have seven starters, right? Because Urquidy and Brown are still in the bullpen. So is Luis Garcia, right? Urquidy hasn't even thrown a pitch in the postseason yet, and he has 3 World Series wins to his name. So the depth is just kind of unbelievable. The bullpen has been the best. And so I think that's where they're going to win, is kind of defensively. And then the offense has been really good about coming in clutch at the right time. Now the Phillies, their downfall is the bullpen, right? We've seen it explode, had ERA of over 4 during the regular season. They can give it up at any time. They've kind of held on during the postseason, but then you saw that one game where they exploded versus the Padres. So I give that edge to the Astros. Hitters, I mean, the Phillies are Bryce Harper, Reese Hoskins, JT Realmuto. They've got every bit as good of hitting in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So of course anything's possible, but like if I'm putting money on it, I don't think I'm just a homer when I say the Astros are just an incredibly complete team.
Well, I'll put money on it for you. We'll back the Astros. I think they're minus 190 here.
Yeah, there's no value.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem with this. Well, if you can find a prop like MVP, pick MVP, and maybe we could figure something out there.
How about Jeremy Pena getting the MVP for the ALCS?
I loaded up when you came on preseason. I loaded up on him for Rookie of the Year. The one thing I didn't have is Verlander. I thought we should have taken that for Cy Young, and we would have been winners there. But
back to the Yankees point, like the one thing I was arguing with a Yankees fan early in the season when he was like, I can't believe you guys didn't sign Correa. You're so cheap. And I was like, I don't know. I trust our organization. If they say Jeremy Pena can do it, they can do it. And they have been phenomenal with Pena. Not that Correa is not amazing, but we didn't need to spend $35 million a year, clearly. And then we were able to get all the other pieces. And that's the cue that I think the Yankees should take. And maybe we'll just get Aaron Judge because I think he's a star, but then they have to get the other pieces around correct.
Babyface, exactly you want to say anything? Jump in here before Jen leaves.
No, I mean, I think we're all in agreement. Like, the Yankees just need a manager like Dusty Baker that can get them over the hump and then lose in the World Series.
That's a very good point.
You better not lose, Jen. This will be bad. If it's Philly, I'll tell you what, if it's Phillies this year, Braves last year, and then Washington 2 years between the – I mean, that's disgraceful for the NL
East. Let me give
you
the biggest reason why you guys need to root for the Astros. Are you ready? Every time the Phillies has won the World Series – the country has gone into a deep recession.
I'd rather go broke than root for the Astros.
Look it up.
I have to root Astros. That's not even a problem. I can't even think about it. Jen, waiver wired. I don't know. Eddie has threatened to walk, not show up for waiver wire tomorrow, but you got that.
That's fine.
CNN, you'll go solo.
How are Jen's fantasy teams doing this year? I should know.
She told everyone to start Matt Ryan. I think that's what Babyface is telling me.
He wasn't the worst start. Believe it or not, he was better than Marcus Mariota and some others.
Oh God! I can't believe it. What we're looking at every Sunday. Weeks?
Yeah.
There was bad. There was bad quarterback. I mean, Brady was terrible. Lamar Jackson was terrible.
Yeah. Every week. Every single week, it's terrible. All right, Jen, thanks so much. Waiver wired. CNNSI. Am I missing anything? What am I missing? Anything?
Nah, you know, I'll be with you guys.
Go Astros.
Podcast Network. The deck. We won. We covered the spread.
I give that. Yes.
There Cowboys. You go.
Yeah.
Cowboys win. We're going to be 6-2 heading into the bye. Friday, Saturday, the World Series starts. You're going to game 2. Exciting. Are you going? Now, you're dating Mattress Mac? Is that what I saw, right? Or that's not true? I don't know. I saw that. That can't be true.
Wow. I would have really lost a bet if that were the case.
He stands to win $75 million if the Astros win the World Series.
It'd be the biggest US payout. He went on driving, drove into New Orleans and placed bets at all these different books. And
I don't know how he's getting it down.
So you got connections. Can you get Jen to throw out the first pitch in one of these games or sing the national anthem, if possibly?
Jen, which would you rather of the two?
Ooh.
I'll sing.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't have a really good arm. I'm not sure that I can make it to that.
What if you have to do a duet with Harry, who is mysteriously disappeared from our,
sound great.
Gallery
here. I'll be good for that.
All right, Jen. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it, Eddie. We'll see you there tomorrow. You and Jen on Waiver Wire. It's going to be fun. Go Astros.
Go Astros. Jen.
All right, so there you go. Jen Piacenti, always a delight. She's the big winner this weekend between the Astros and the Cowboys, and we'll talk about it in a minute. Also, big winner, prop quiz winner, Mike Damm. I don't think it's the Mike Damm we know.
What? Well, there's another Mike Damm? I don't think so.
Yeah, this said Mike Damm of Belleville, and I did some digging, and there is a Mike Damm that's a fan of ours, and he's like, he's about 20 years older than the Mike Damm we played a high school football with. But anyway, he got 8 right. He took home a gold cap right there. Brother Brian, I don't know how many you got. I think I had
three or four.
three or four should win it.
I know. These are whoever has 8, really good job. I mean, the odds of getting 8 on some of these are really tough.
Very hard. Very hard. But let's recap this week 7, and then we'll go into the Monday night football game. Just another Sunday in the NFL. PJ Walker, Taylor Heineke, former XFL quarterbacks, beat Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. That's it. That's fine. Let's start with this Tampa team. Harry, this was your best bet. Tampa minus 13. Didn't it go up? And Harry was like, he didn't care.
Right? Yeah, went to 13.
I was concerned.
You said it was going to be like 42-16 final or something when we asked you for a score. Yeah.
True.
Look, I have no one else to. I'm not blaming anybody. except for myself making the selection. You know, I hate laying points. You know, I definitely hate laying double digits, no matter how much I kind of think the game is going to go that way. Tampa Bay laying 13 is a joke. They can't even score 13 points. This is Byron Leftwich and Todd Bowles are both under their disciples of Bruce Arians from the back in the days. So they're not going to be fired because Arians still has a job in the front office with Tampa. But this team, I mean, I'm listening and reading of how like this was their best week of practice. They've had all season. Are you kidding me? They look so unprepared, lethargic, worst offense in the league. Their offense, by the way, I saw a stat, 3rd and 7 or more this season for Tampa Bay on offense, completing 9% of the time. They are 4 of 43 of 3rd and 7 or more. That's last in NFL. Where is the fire in this team, Parlay Kid? Brady, the team, they look like they didn't know what was going after Evans dropped that touchdown, guaranteed touchdown in the first couple minutes of the game. They didn't do anything on offense.
I figured it was going to be like 10 of those. Terrible too. I thought there was going to be like 10 of those anyway. Like I was like, oh, Evans, oh, that sucks that he dropped it. But this is just going to be one of those games. So it doesn't matter. Yep. Right.
Even when it was 7. Okay. Carolina got the touchdown to Moore. Okay. Now Brady will get going. Tampa will get going. It's just a matter of time. And it never happened.
Harry, what did happen is you bet it was your pick of the week or whatever. You put it on Sharp Tank and everything. But on the graphic where the whole staff lays out their picks, you took the Panthers. So what gives there? What are you doing with this?
Can't explain that. Can't explain that. But
you can't.
I'll take it. I'll take the win there. I'll take the win.
Yeah, I don't know about that. All right, we're going to go over the numbers.
Can we
there.
Check
yeah.
that again,
that's Mike? Right. Can you just check that to make sure that that's what Harry had? And if he did, then we can never take one of his Sharp Tank picks seriously.
I know,
again.
That's a thing,
that's number
Harry.
One, or number two, you know, or he's hedging on this program.
I wouldn't put that past
him. Which is ridiculous. I wouldn't put it past him, but
what is it, Harry?
That is a real slimy.
I was just going to say, listen, that might be, it's a mistake. Darren, it's a mistake, an honest mistake. More than anything, though, Darren, the game itself, when they were down 14 to nothing,
I know,
and they decide from the 5, they kicked the field goal. Like, that's, you can't do that. It's so dumb.
I'm going to say something here, and it actually even contradicts what I said with Simmons last night, but I don't think they need to panic. I don't think Brady's in much worse shape than he was preseason because he only came back, I think, because he looked at the landscape of the NFC and said, all right, I can compete. That was right. That was the narrative. The NFC is going to suck. I can get in there. I could make hay. You still have to be the best team to get a bye. So that probably wasn't happening anyway. It's definitely not happening now. So what do you have to do, Parlay Kid? You have to win the division. He's staring at, but look what he's looking at. He's looking at Andy Dalton. He's looking at Marcus Mariota. Yeah. He's looking at PJ Walker. His odds to win the NFC South are minus 270. I don't think a lot has changed if you think eventually they're going to get their act together, Parlay Kid.
Well, they don't have to get their act together that much. I think Brady's probably looking at big picture here. I go 9-8, 10-7, win this division. I'll play on the road in a playoff game. I can win on the road. I wouldn't be surprised if they make a trade or two here, Tampa, to upgrade their roster. I don't think there's any panic right now on Brady. If anything, this is just serving as motivation for him to maybe write a really good ending for himself. I don't know. I'm just knowing the guy.
Listen,
this is not going to be acceptable. And I think he still has the respect of everybody in that locker room. Unless he's lost
this. It's much more fun to say, oh, Brady's getting divorced. He skipped practice. Nah, he skipped the week of preseason. I was like, but the truth is it doesn't matter. And even with, you know, I'm looking minus 270, Atlanta plus 325, New Orleans 13-1, Carolina 20-1. They're going to win this division if things shape up a little bit, right? I don't think it's even going to be that hard.
Defensively, since the Kansas City game, they've been awful as well. Beyond awful.
Yeah, they gave up 181 rushing yards to Freeman and Chuba Hubbard. That doesn't usually happen. That's bad. But whatever. It didn't matter. They scored 3 points. They weren't going to win. But the other side of this, I want to say, Bri, Panthers, does anything inspire a team more than when their best player leaves? Like Simmons calls it the Ewing theory or anything. But I feel like, you know, if there's a death on the team, that could go either way. Like, all right, we got to step up. But there might be so much emotion in that that you don't know. But I feel like nothing gets the team of 53 together more than, okay, a great team, a great quarterback is coming to town. We just lost our best player. We're a 2-touchdown underdog. And then mysteriously, towards the end of the game, they're either in it or they're blowing out the better team 21-3. I just feel like there's no better motivator than that.
I mean, you're right. I mean, that's exactly what it is, right? You play that nobody believes in us card, right? I'm sure the coach put that out there. I mean, I didn't believe in them. I had the Buccaneers too, because God, the Panthers couldn't have been worse over the last couple of weeks. But yeah, they played inspired yesterday. They played they played great defensively. I was more shocked how well in the second half they moved the ball on Tampa. That was the thing that was more shocking.
Right.
And the thing is with Brady, right? There comes, I feel like over the last 10 years, right? There comes a point in the season every year where we kind of are like, maybe this is it for Brady, right? Maybe this is it, but this is the worst, right? This is, I mean, we've seen it over the years. This is definitely the worst little stretch they've had.
Sure.
Is it the no line, the line being terrible? Is it not having Gronkowski? I mean, I'm sure he's begging Gronk to come back right now, because obviously that helps him out. And just to have, you know, just to have that.
Got no help from the tight end position this year.
Just that personality on the team.
National Tight Ends Day, no less. My God, you would expect them to step up.
So I think you're right.
No, Gronk definitely solves that doing nothing on third and seven thing that Harry read before. But yeah. And then you got the Packers, who in a much worse situation. Now, three and a half behind the Vikings, Harry? Mm-hmm.
Still
can make the playoff. This could be a first-round playoff game. If the Packers get their crap together, they're a 7 seed, could go to Tampa, right? Like, it could be something like that as a 3 or whatever. Mm. That would be an interesting first-round game if they were all better by then. But I got just on that Packers game, the first time – oh, now I'm not going to find this stat. It's the first time in – I don't know how many years they didn't convert a third down. They were 0-for-6 on third down there. Wow. Yes, 0-for-6 on third.
Can't run the ball either. Can't run the ball.
First time since 1999, Parlay Kid. 370 games.
That's incredible.
They lose to the Commanders 23-21. Another team that's sort of been left for dead, but now Heineke kind of always has a game like this at home. They beat Tampa last.
Exactly.
But the big thing to look at, Bri, Rodgers 60-1, Brady 60-1 for MVP after 7 weeks. That's insanity.
Insanity. They'd have to win out to even have a thought in that.
Rodgers is already, like you said, Bri, just a second ago, already playing the card of nobody believes in us in his post-game interview yesterday for the Bills heading into Sunday.
Yeah, this is the problem that the Packers have, right? There's only so much longer. You can't play like this much longer because you're at Buffalo, then you're at Detroit, which whatever, but then you have the Cowboys, Titans at Philly. Like, those are four of your next
they're
five.
They're done, I think.
You're not going to win the division unless, I mean, you have to beat Minnesota.
I mean, they had four losses all of last year, and that was like a down year for them, right? Because they had like 3 losses the previous two. Now they already have 4.
And you can't blame all these young wide receivers because they ran the ball for 38 yards yesterday.
Yeah.
It was a mess. I don't know. I didn't even tune in. I didn't even know what was going on at the end there. All right, Parlay Kid, our team. Dak returns. Cowboys beat the Lions 24-6. I was down on the Cowboys. Dak was a slow start. He took some weird sacks. I will say, when he's rolling right, I do have a lot of confidence in him, right? When he does the play action and then rolls right, I was like, all right, I feel like he's going to complete this pass no matter what. But and he threw a touchdown in his return, and the defense was great, obviously, again. But I looked at the numbers like this morning. I'm like, it was very even. Time of possession,
yeah,
total
game.
Yards was very, very even.
So
aside from we got them to turn the ball over five times, and Dan Campbell now 0-11-1 on the road with the Lions.
Yeah, that's right. So I you could correct me with the score, but I'm thinking it was about 10-6 at one point in early in the fourth, and Detroit had the ball on the basically inch line, and they turned it over. Dallas could have been down 13-10 at that time frame, and who knows what happens. Yeah, Dak looked, I mean, again, like a lot of times with Dak, you know, you kind of go, he didn't play a great game. You look at his numbers, they were pretty solid. There were definitely times that I even think Romo had mentioned where Dak probably was a little too aggressive downfield. Had a couple interceptions probably that should have been caught by the Lions.
Three should have been caught.
No, I'm serious, Harry. I'm not making that up.
I'm serious too. Listen, Pollard, Zeke were great. Zeke again with that skip over the defender, 140 yards, two touchdowns. But very fortunate Dallas because of the touchdown at the one yard line. That they gave and three easy picks.
They were like easy picks. That they dropped. I agree with that. And sometimes you got to be lucky, but Dallas themselves are just great at forcing turnovers. So we went so long watching this Cowboys defense. And that's why when people want to be critical of a guy like Diggs, Diggs is an interception machine. Does he give up some yards? Sometimes. Yeah. But we would have, you know, back when Romo was playing, right? If we had a guy with one or two interceptions in a season, that was a lot.
Yeah.
That was
like
a lot.
12 weeks, they would go without an interception.
Dan, give Dan Quinn the head coach salary to be the defensive coordinator of this team for as long as he wants. He has this defense flying around. But the Lions played him tough. So that final score is not indicative.
No.
The Lions played a little bit better than the score says, but the Cowboys also played a little bit worse than what the score says.
I agree.
I think Dallas could win a playoff game, guys. I think Dallas could win in the playoffs if they are mediocre, just mediocre on offense, but fantastic on defense. They can beat anybody in the playoffs.
Yes.
That's how it's going right now around the whole league.
Is Harry rooting for the Cowboys now?
I'm being fair there.
For Zeke Elliott. Oh, I'd love to see the Cowboys beat his Vikings. Let that be a week one matchup. That'd be so much fun.
I'm being fair, D. The defense is spectacular.
In a couple weeks, Sal. They do play in a couple weeks.
You're right. That's coming up. All right, so let's try to hit as many of these as we can. Bri, your Raiders won. I don't know if you know this, but they did. Save the season, 38-20 over the Texans. Josh Jacobs, you talked about his last four games. He has what, almost 600 yards, but 143 and three touchdowns with 20 carries yesterday. They trailed. Could have been a typical Raiders game. They trailed in the third quarter before Jacobs took over, and now you're 2-4.
Yeah, no, I thought the Raiders defensively in the beginning of that game were terrible. I thought they were awful. I thought the second half, though, offensively, I thought they couldn't be stopped. Jacobs was phenomenal, but I started to get a little bit confident there at the end of the third quarter that, maybe we're not going to stop Houston, but they're not going to stop us either. So I'm still worried. That's another one. 38-20. I mean, that's really a one score game. So I wouldn't be super impressed as a Raider fan. I'm glad they put it away there with the pick at the end, but I'm still not super impressed as a team right now. They're still not playing great. I mean, they're still not playing great.
Everything's relative, right? And you would have thought at 2-4, there would be no way you'd have a shot in the AFC West. And I don't think they're going to catch the Chiefs, but at least you could get a playoff spot over the Broncos, over the Chargers, who are just. Well, the Broncos, it continues, right? They lose 16-9. Brees Hall goes down. That sucked with a knee injury. He's out for the year now.
He's out, torn ACL.
Torn ACL, out for the year, 16-9. 5-win Jets. So the win total is 5.5. They're already 5-2. So that's good that they won. They lose that big piece in Brees Hall. But the Broncos, you know, Brett Rippon, doesn't seem to matter who you put back there, Harry. 16-9 final. Jets beat them.
Oh, seriously unbelievable how bad this Denver offense is. This is one of the worst of all time. They can't get anything going offensively. They can't score in the first half. They can't score anything. Yeah. It's awful. And awful watch.
And then the other game, the Chargers lose to the Seahawks 37-23. The Seahawks lead the NFC West now at 4-3. DK Metcalf's out for a bit. They carted him off. Geno Smith is phenomenal. He's like a top six MVP contender MVP, here at this baby. Point. It's really nuts what goes on. And the Chargers, just more and more injuries piling up, Parley Kid, right? We see J.C. Jackson on a play that if he had been able to jump, they would have stayed in the game. But he went down at the exact second that I feel like that game got out of hand. And Herbert's like bracing himself. He's holding his left hand up and bracing himself and throwing. It's just a big – he'll do anything to not have to go see the team doctor. It's just a mess with that team. I don't know. I think the Raiders are better than Chargers and Broncos and a lot of these AFC West teams. Yeah.
I think you're right, Dan. The Chargers, I really wonder if not having a home field advantage it's really taking a toll on that team, because they never seem to have a lot of energy. I don't know. They're just something always lacking with that team. They never seem fired up.
When you're down 17-0 and you don't have the crowd behind you, it's hard, right? And you're home.
I guess so.
It is tough, but that's Seattle. Then we talked about Seattle could – the NFC West is also, subpar from what you thought going in, and they could win. We joked about it when Seattle hadn't even played. They were in first place, right? Because all the other AFC West team, NFC West teams had lost. And I was like, if Pete Carroll could just hang on, then they beat Denver in the first game. And now they're 4-3. You may have to be only 10-7 to win this division, Bri, right? Whereas you thought once that the Rams or Niners, whoever wins, 12-5. Mm-hmm. If 10-7 takes it, they're going to be in the mix, I think. So,
10-7 is going to win this division, right? Because you're playing AFC West teams. Even though the AFC West hasn't been good, right? You're going to lose some games. Those teams are just going to keep beating each other.
Right.
But I will say, Seattle, I've enjoyed watching, even though yesterday's game really wasn't enjoyable, I've enjoyed watching the Jets, and the Seahawks have been the other team I enjoy watching.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, especially now with Kenneth Walker, because I kind of always liked him at a Michigan State.
Make me a trade. I got him. He's on my bench.
Breece Hall's done for me, so I don't know what I could offer you that's very good right now, even though I'm 6-1. I'll be 6-1. I don't know what.
I don't need a running back. Just give me who's your best receiver. Who is it?
Higgins, Waddle. I mean, they're not great.
Nah, I'll move on.
What's Carroll for coach of the year? What's Carroll for coach of the year?
I don't know. All I know is for Seattle, Walker is 2-1 for rookie of the year and a comeback player of the year. I know Barkley's the favorite at -220, but Geno Smith's 4-1.
Yeah, right? That's not bad.
I mean, Geno Smith's more of a real, have we ever seen anybody, if Geno Smith continues to play the way he's been playing, have we ever seen anybody play like him in terms of you've just been you had a chance, you've been a backup on multiple teams, you haven't done anything, and then all of a sudden, 10, you know.
Right.
Eight years later, you're playing well.
Throw the whole thing when he was with the Jets, Bri, where he didn't pay the teammate and they got in the fight and he was a laughing stock in the league.
He was 8-8 on that one Jets team. It wasn't forever ago. Yeah. It is a weird career trajectory, not like one we've seen, Bri. You're right.
Yeah. And Kenneth Walker looks fantastic. I mean, what burst. He looks great and better than Penny.
Coach of the year, Pete Carroll's 20-1. He's like sixth on the list. Mike McDaniel, 15-1 is ahead of him. Go ahead, Harry. Bet it. Jump in there. I do want to talk Chiefs, Niners. Chiefs look like the Chiefs again. Unstoppable. I know that Niners defense is banged up a little, but 44-23. They do seem to be better on the road. Mahomes, 423 yards, 3 touchdowns. And he's involving the Juju Smiths and the Valdes-Scantlings, who we all know were good. Right. Or at least decent. And now they're part of his offense and they're in sync. And you may just get out of their way because they're going to roll 5-2 now, Parley Kid. And they're what was supposed to be their toughest stretch schedule wise.
Yeah. But I will caution you with this, Sal. Right. I really do think once every 4 or 5 games, the Chiefs offense reverts back to where you're what happened in that game? It's probably coming up again soon. Right. Where. I do think they're the premier offense in the league, but because Mahomes is just so freaking good. But it just feels like there's this once, like it's almost like they don't, there's some games they scale back because they don't want to have their full arsenal on film out there or something like that.
Yeah, maybe.
Where they, you know, they try to win a game when they score 20 points or something like that. I just feel like, but they are the premier offense. But yeah, I just have a thing. One of those types of games are coming soon. You're like, what happened to that offense? But they are premier. Mahomes just makes it work because he can make every single throw. No other quarterback, like Josh Allen probably. There's only a few guys that can make every throw, rolling left, rolling right, dropping straight back. You know, whatever you want to say, downfield, short, every throw in the book he can make.
I know what you're saying about, like, you know, every few weeks you'll have them on a three-team teaser or something. And they'll disappoint you. But here's one thing. They're 5-2. They have a bye. By the way, there's two bye teams and they're both in the West. It's the Chiefs and Chargers are on a bye this week. It's only those two teams. But they play Denver twice. I have no doubt they'll win both of those now, right? Whereas before the season, you're like, oh, they're going to split. Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. I don't see how they don't win both. At the Raiders, that'll be fun, I think. At the Texans. Chargers don't scare me anymore. Home for the Jaguars, home for the Titans. They're going to have a bunch of wins in there. So they'll be double digit again, which is one thing, you know, you couldn't really tell in the beginning of the year. How about this, Harry or Bri or Parley Kid? You could all be listening here. Caesars has an offer. Bills, Eagles, Chiefs, even odds against the field to win the Super Bowl. Which way are you going, Bri? You taking those three?
Yes.
Harry? No, you like the Vikings, right?
No, probably because of the Bills overall right now. But
wow.
In the AFC, yeah, you got KC, you got Buffalo, but Cincinnati looks really good now too.
Yeah. Darren, you take those three?
So normally I would say no, but I don't think I still think anybody from the NFC is capable of coming out. But if you're telling me Bills or Chiefs, I don't think anybody in the AFC is overtaking either of those two. I think one of those teams is making it to the Super Bowl and probably winning the Super Bowl.
I would take those three also. That's right now if I had that offer. Yeah. I do, Harry, though.
Did you come up with that bet? Is that your bet? I'm just saying that seems like something you would have created
for
somebody.
It will be interesting.
I'll take credit. I came up with it.
One sec, Sal, before you mention it, it will be interesting after a bye week here to see how Minnesota comes out because they're 5-1. And you mentioned, Sal, 3.5 game lead in the North.
Yeah, well, yeah, we'll see. They play Arizona, so Bengals though. Your guy Burrow, 345 passing yards in the first half and three touchdowns. Ooh. And here's what's most important about the three touchdowns: they were all over 10 yards in the air, which just does not happen in the NFL anymore, right? He's the one who could throw long, Parley Kid, with accuracy and consistency. And Burrow is back, and this Bengals team is scary now.
Last 2 weeks because a couple weeks ago he spoke of the fact that he was having trouble because of the coverages throwing the ball deep. Right. So obviously they changed something in their offense, or they got the defenses to do something a little different. But Burrow's been great. Harry knows that because my fantasy team is spanking him around.
Me.
Have we ever had a fantasy team start 0-5 and then make the playoffs?
Do it.
No
get
way.
In there. Do
I
it.
Think I'm, I think
I'm rooting
doing
for
it.
You, D. I'm rooting
I think
for
I'm
you.
Doing, I think I'm doing it, Sal, especially if I can
Brian's
get
scared of you, D.
Who I'm 6-1. I might fall out of the playoffs.
Kenneth Walker, Sal? Who do you want for him, Sal?
Who are your receivers, though? I need a blockbuster receiver.
I don't have any number one. I got a lot of number twos. I mean, if you want CD, I'll give you CD Lamb for him right now, Sal.
CD
Lamb for Kenneth Walker.
All right, let's talk. Ooh. Let's talk. We'll figure this out.
It's not bad, D. That's not terrible.
If you could have, Harry, either Matzo Parmesan's, the Boner Jackson's -110 versus the field. I'll forget it. No, those are real quick, Giants 6-1. They beat the Jags 23-17. I'm an idiot. I overread that line. I was like, Jaguars are giving points. That doesn't make sense. I'm taking the Jaguars. And of course, they lose. They almost won. Got that down to the one as time expired. Giants 6 wins, all one possession. Good for them. Let's see how long it takes them. It's good for their fans right now, especially with the Yankees losing. Colts, so now Matt Ryan's out. It's Ellinger. 19-10. I just Sammy got a text from Scott the Grizz. Says, I'm giving you a lock of the year. Ellinger over rushing yards this week. I don't even know. He doesn't even know how many there are.
Yeah,
you
that's
like
a good
that?
One.
Texas kid.
I like
Texas
that.
Kid.
I like
yeah,
that.
He's a Texas. Yeah, he loves
Sammy
it. Welcome.
Sammy E.
Yep. Taylor came back. Didn't matter. Matt Ryan was bad and is now benched. And the Titans have control. They just can't lose to the Colts. Now they've beaten them twice. And they look like they're going to take that division. What else? Jets. We did this. Mm. We did the Seahawks Chargers. I think that's everything. Steelers Dolphins. Parlay kid. I thought Tua would get off to a slow start like Dak did coming back after, you know, a lengthy respite there, but they actually scored their first three possessions and then didn't. They scored like a field goal the rest of the way. 16-10, unimpressive win. Almost there. Almost there, Kenny Pickett. One play away, I think, from doing
it. Almost there. Bad pass at the end. Something went wrong on that ball. I don't know what happened. But, yeah, I think the Dolphins at first, they thought it was a route, right? This was going to be a route. Tua looks sharp. It's almost like they got that lead and then were like, we got to keep Tua healthy, like
sit
I said.
On it.
Like,
yeah.
That's what
and
I thought.
Way, talk,
I really
but,
thought.
Talk about dropped interceptions. There might have been four or five in that game, Harry, all benefiting.
I
know, again, right? It's amazing, right? It really is amazing.
By the way, that's that, for the 2-3 games Pickett has played, 7 picks already.
Yeah, that's a lot. All right, listen, wow. I love that. I love that Caesars bet. Bills, Eagles, Chiefs, minus 110 versus the rest of the field. You can have 29 teams or those three.
Wow.
Do it at Caesars. And let me tell you something about Caesars. Your first bet with Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, it's on Caesars up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code CZRFULL and place your first bet. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer. Free stays, game tickets, experiences, and more.
You must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Yes, you have to know when to stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem in Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, or Pennsylvania, or if you know someone who has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in Maryland, visit MarylandGamblingMDGamblingHelp.org. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. Or text CONNEX to 247-247. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we will preview the Monday Night Football game, Patriots-Bears tonight.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, let's do this. Pats minus 8, over under is 40 versus Chicago. Pats, what, Brian, real quick, to make the playoffs, Patriots, what do you think the number is?
To make the playoffs, plus 110.
Plus 170. I thought that was a little rich. I think they can go on a little bit of a run here. Got the Jets next week, whatever. I don't know. Anyway, I say all this and I'm taking Chicago tonight plus the points. I like the under. The under's probably the play here. You got two young quarterbacks. It is Mac Jones, right? Did they say it's definitely going to be
him? Yeah, Mac Jones is starting.
Yeah, so it's Mac Jones. Zappy hour is over. Ball control offense. Bears have scored 19 or fewer in four of their six games, while the defense has yielded 20 or fewer in four games in the last four. But I'll make a case for the Bears. Patriots run defense, a little overvalued. They're in the bottom five in almost all the categories. I think Montgomery, Herbert could have decent games and keep this close. And Pat's offense putting up a ton of points, but a little overrated when you look at the defenses. Green Bay, Detroit, Cleveland, and Baltimore ranked 29th, 30th, 32nd, and 27th in EPA allowed per play heading into the week. And you do not give Matt Eberflus 10 days to prepare for Belichick. You just don't do it. Maybe that's going too far. I'm just not laying this many points, not on a weird night game. 20-16. I don't know how I get to that. Lots of field goals, missed extra points. That's mine. Harry and Parlay Kid have the same bet here, Harry, to put it on the table for us.
Listen, Sal, I'll take that final. I agree with you. It's a kind of a weird game. I'm not going to lay the points here. So I'm going to do a teaser. I'm going to take Patriots down to a pick, and I'm going to do tease it up from 40 to under 47. Zappy was great filling in for the Patriots. Now Mac is back. Patriots are rolling right now, two wins in a row, and outscored their opponents by 52 points over those two games. On defense, giving up just 15 points per game the last two. Chicago 32nd, obviously, in the league in passing. 27th in total yards per game. Bears are averaging just 15 points per game. And Darnell Mooney is leading the Bears in receiving with just 40 yards per game. This could be a sloppy game because Chicago's defense is pretty good. I think I consider Chicago's defense top five defense in the league.
You do?
Considering they're in games. They're in pretty much every game here. They're not really getting blown out, the Bears, but they just can't score. So I'm going to go under, and I'm going to Pats win the game in a close one, maybe.
I think, Parley Kid, this is a two-team teaser in the same game you can make, right? I mean, it shouldn't be a ton of points, and you just need the Pats to win.
Yeah, Harry, I love this. What you're saying, I would be shocked if this loss. I feel like this is maybe that's the only thing that's worrying me. It seems too easy. I think the Patriots are the better team here. Mac Jones has to play pretty well. He has to have a good game tonight. He's got a little pressure on him.
Sure.
With Zappy, after his performances, if Jones lays an egg tonight, there's going to be people talking there. He has to play pretty well. Harris is back now to go with Stevenson. Their backfield is very solid for the Pats. Their offensive game has opened up a little bit the last few weeks. The Bears just don't have enough offensively to get it done here. So the Pats defense will stifle the Bears offense. So low scoring game. And all we need is Pats to win here, Harry. It seems too easy. I hope it's. I hope that's what. Because Harry, I'm going to put a decent amount on this. Whoa. That's for sure. Yes,
Bri, you think we're overthinking this with the total here? You have Pats in a drought.
I like that. I like the bet. I like the bet here, but I also like the Pats just to cover, and I like the under too. I mean, it's weird to think I'd feel better if Zappy was starting this. I really
isn't that strange, right?
But that being said,
you like the under better here, Brian, than you did in the Yankees Astros yesterday.
Oh come on!
I'm just saying because I jumped on that under with you, Brian. It was done in the third.
Well, that's what happens when you jump on it. We're not good.
You don't have Belichick running the Yankees is the problem. Maybe that's
this is one of those picks though. This is one of those, if you guys lose this, taken back in Chicago, you kind of feel like an idiot maybe in this game. Yeah. But that being said, this Pats defense starting to resemble the defenses of the years past, right? They've dominated. It's two pretty bad teams, but they dominated over the last two. But the Bears offense, right? They scored 7 versus the Commanders, 12 versus the Giants, 10 versus the Packers.
Yeah,
I think they're scoring about 10 in this game. Right. I think the Pats win this like 23. I'm going to say 23-10. I like the
it might be a case that they just have to get to 20. I mean, I have them scoring 20, but I thought the Bears would put up a little bit of a fight before they, you know, before they gotta get on the board against our Cowboys.
They got to get on the board early, though. Right. If they don't score the first few drives, then that's it.
Let's do props here. I know I'm crazy to take a Bears wide receiver over yards when Fields only seems to pass when his life depends on it. But I am going, Harry, with Darnell Mooney over 43.5. 12 targets last. He's become Fields' guy. This is what we thought going into the year. 12 targets last week, 68 yards, 52 and 94 the two games before that. We only need 44 tonight. He has 33 targets for the Bears. That's more than double the second best option, Cole Kmet, who has 15. Fields is going to look for him, and especially if they're down a lot in the third, like most people think. Mooney's a nice option, over 43 and a half yards. I think it's minus 119. Parley Kid, I mean, the two of us, the what are the odds two of us go with over receiving yard props for the Bears and we both win? I don't know.
Well, it's going to be interesting. So, but I'm sold, Sal. In fact, I'll tell you what, Mooney for Kenneth Walker. How do you like that?
Oh, interesting. Is there another like Kenneth Walker you're talking about? Wasn't Kenny Walker a Hartfield running back too? Was that a
Kenny Harris? Kenny Harris.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Right. Kenny Skywalker, Darren. Kenny Skywalker.
That's right. Yep. That's right. It's getting confusing.
Oh, man.
But you like Montgomery over 10 and a half.
Yeah, well, you know, Sal, I had this last week. I had Montgomery over 13 and a half yards receiving, and he had 13. So yep. I just lost out on this. But if you look at it, Montgomery's gone over 10 and a half in all four games that he's played in this year, a high of 62. He averages 22 and a half yards receiving a game. That's about what he averages for his career. It's about 23 yards receiving per game. We're asking him 10 and a half yards today. That's one catch, probably all he needs against a defense that's going to make Fields check down to the running back here.
Yep.
So I feel like I'm feel fairly confident in this one that Montgomery gets one or two catches and he goes over this number. Again, I lost on this a week ago at 13 and a half. 10 and a half just seems like
too low
for a guy who averages 23 yards receiving per game in his career.
Get it out of the way in the first quarter. Harry, same game parlay as found on Caesars. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm going to do first. It's a two-team same-game parlay, pays plus 192. Mac Jones at minus 115, under 28.5 pass attempts. That's the first part of it. The Pats should let the running game do most of the damage on the offense and not make Jones have to do too much in his return from his ankle injury. Pats are 10th in the NFL in rushing. Stevenson has 240 yards on the ground in the last 2 weeks. And Darren, you mentioned Harris is back, too, to solidify that running game that they have. And the second part of it, I'm going to do it. This is my video pick on extra points as well. Justin Fields to throw a pick at minus 179. He's got five on the season. Now, might not sound like a lot, but considering how many passes he's only attempted, it's pretty awful. The Pats, seventh in the league in picks. They have a pick in five straight games, whether it's Jonathan Jones, who has one pick, or Jack Jones, who has two picks for the Patriots, or whoever. Somebody will pick off Fields by the time the game's over.
Right.
So Mac Jones under 28.5 pass attempts. Justin Fields to throw a pick at minus 179 and pays plus 192.
All right. There you go. Brother Bri, what's your prop?
Yeah, I'm going to go Montgomery under. It's been dry. It keeps dropping. I'm going to go under 50.5 rushing yards. You know, if Belichick's going to, he likes to take one thing away, right, from these teams. And if he takes one thing away, he's going to try and take away the Bears running game. He's going to want to force Fields to throw the ball down the field. Force Fields. Yeah, we should use that more. The Pats held Chubb last week to 56 yards. Herbert's going to take some carries away. You know, Fields is going to also get some carries. So, and plus you get, if they fall behind two scores at some point early in this game, they're going to have to abandon the run somewhat. So I'm going to go under 50.5.
All right. Well, first touchdown pick. We have not been good with this. I should give out the odds here. Ramondre Stevenson is favored at plus 370. Damon Harris, first game back, plus 575. Jacoby Myers, plus 625. Then David Montgomery, we've spoken about a lot, plus 625. I'm going to tell you, I was looking at it. I'm like, I'm just going to bet no touchdown on 30-1. I know the score I gave, 20-16, goes against this, but I don't know. Just whatever. We saw how this is going. It's either oh, this guy's first game. This is his second game. You don't find him. You can't find him in the top 15. It's going to be some dude picking up garbage in the end zone. They're going to give him a jersey and he's going to score the first touchdown. I'd rather just bet no touchdown in a low scoring game, as we've seen on these. God forbid Buck and Aikman call a bad game with no touchdown, Harry. I know it's blasphemous, but 30-1. And Parley Kid, you found Pat's defense. Is that what you're doing?
I'm going to take Pat's defense at 20-1, Sal. Like you're saying, I think the defenses here in this game, especially the Pat's defense, have just as good of a chance as scoring that first touchdown than any player on this field tonight. So I'll roll it with it at 20-1 pass defense, which has been getting better and better by the week.
Let's do it. We got to hit one of these big ones. Although if we hit one of these big ones, I know Mikey Meatballs is rooting up for us to keep losing, because God forbid we hit one of these and I'm going to be like, yeah, figure out where we are. Are we down? How much are we down? But if we keep losing, I'll never ask him to figure it out. All right. Harry, Hunter Henry, 9-1.
9-1. I had a 31-yard touchdown last week. 9 total touchdowns last year. Jones back. He likes looking his way. Maybe if Pats get inside the 10 here and they think the run is coming with either Stevenson or Harris, play fake, hit Hunter in the back part of the end zone at 9-1. I like it.
All right. And brother Bry, finish it off. This is the winner. Whatever you're going to say here.
Well, I'm going to say John Smith at 13-1. I did want to take the rookie Thornton at plus 950. You know, he scored twice last week, but I was concerned, you know, he doesn't have a connection yet with Mac Jones. So, you know, I feel like lately, you know, it's been the second and third tight ends catching this first touchdown. Jonnu Smith is still a decent part of this offense, had 60 yards receiving last week. Bears haven't defended well against tight ends. So I like that we have Henry and Smith in this one.
Yep. There you go. All right, listen, let's take another break. Then we'll quickly talk about college football, the Heisman odds. They've changed Clemson, Syracuse when we return.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, we're back. Not a ton of craziness in college ranks there. Clemson beat Syracuse. I know Harry was upset. They didn't cover the 13. Harry called foul on the officials. You think they got in the way of this, Harry?
Oh, I just think that, you know, the Syracuse got called for a personal foul that kept Clemson's drive alive, and then they got a touchdown out of it. Same exact play happened for Syracuse where their quarterback got hit out of bounds and the call wasn't made. They had a punt two, three plays later. Clemson Shipley runs it from 40 yards away for a touchdown. Yeah. And the game got away from Syracuse at that point. You know, if you're going to call it on both sides. That's all.
The game never got away from them. They just were terrible in the second half. They couldn't score in the second half. Yeah. I don't know. There might be, right, Clemson over 11.5 wins, so that means they run the tables plus 110. They won the turnover battle, Syracuse, and they still lost 4-1. I don't know. I don't know if they get tripped up. I thought NC State, I thought some of these other teams could do it, but that might be a good play. Harry, Hendon Hooker now 2-1 for the Heisman. Stroud still minus 105. Caleb Williams 11-1. Blake Corum 12-1. And Bryce Young 25-1. This is it. Big game against Kentucky. Big game against Georgia.
Yeah.
Feeling good about it. I mean, you got them at 40-1.
I feel really good against them against Georgia. I think they have the talent to beat Georgia. I just hope they don't get tripped up here against Kentucky because Kentucky is still a pretty good
team.
Right. But it's interesting that Hooker went from over 13-1 all the way down to 2-1. That's pretty interesting that it went that far down. But especially after playing.
Not in 1 week, but.
Yeah, it was 13-1 last week, and now it's 2-1.
No,
yes, I think it was 8-1. I think it was 8-1.
Was it?
I think it was 8-1 at some point last week. But I am surprised it dropped that much, right?
Yeah,
I am. Well, especially when you play like not even
Tennessee,
like
Tennessee Martin. He played three quarters,
I didn't like it, but
I think just a lot of money coming in on Hendon Hooker. Well, I think that's.
I also think that Stroud, right there, and I was just going to mention Stroud. Yeah, he got his touchdowns late in that Iowa game.
He did.
Didn't play early, so I said to you guys that he's taken a bit of a hit in the Heisman here, even though he got his touchdowns late.
Yeah, but you know what? It really didn't hurt him because he's still through for four. Like, I couldn't believe he got to four.
That's how he does it.
He was like stuck at one, like late, and then all of a sudden, like, wait, he finished with four touchdowns. His numbers and Hooker's numbers are very similar.
Yeah.
He's thrown 10 more touchdown passes, but three more interceptions.
Right.
And we'll see. I think I'd still put my money on Stroud here. Although I think if you take probably both of those somehow, I don't know.
I think it's a safe bet because I think if he gets to Michigan and he beats Michigan, I think it's really going to be hard. Even if Hooker, I mean, really at 2-1 at this point, you might just take them over Georgia.
But if Hooker beats Bama, Hooker beats Bama in the first time in forever, they beat Georgia on the road. And get
take them the odds to beat Georgia because I think he still has to do that.
I think that's the thing, right? You might as well take them, put a lot on versus Kentucky, right? And then put a lot on them versus Georgia.
Yeah,
like just roll that in to Georgia, right? And then you're going to get better odds than the 2-1. Right.
All right, listen, Parlay Kid, Brother Bri, Betty Spaghetti, Mikey Meatballs, Babyface. Sorry about the Yankees. I mean, you had that mental skills coach sending them highlights of the 2004 Red Sox. I don't know how that didn't work, but we're going to pick the World Series winner tomorrow. We're going to go over some NBA futures we didn't hit tomorrow, and we will recap the Monday night game. That'll do it for another episode of Against All Odds. For Spaghetti, for Meatballs, for Babyface, Joel Solomon, and the Degenerate Trifecta, I'm Sal, saying so long and happy handicapping. Na 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 na